And if you, while you're turning there, if you're able, please stand with me for the reading of the Word of God tonight. Psalm 96. But I want to make sure you find it or that you can see it up here on the screen in just a minute, because when we get to verses 2 and 3, I'm going to ask you to please read those out loud with me. So here's verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Now please read verses 2 and 3 out loud with me. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. Our Heavenly Father, thank You again for allowing us to come. Pray that You get all the honor and glory and praise from what we do here tonight. And every day You give us on this planet, may we live for Your glory. Please forgive our sin. I pray through the preaching of Your word tonight, You'd convict our hearts, that You'd change us. Lord, please change me. Help me to be the man You've called me to be, the husband and father and the pastor. And Lord, help all of us tonight, whatever roles You've called us to, that we would humble ourselves before You. And Lord, as we look back at this past year, we give You thanks. And Lord, as we look back on this past year and we see our failures, Lord, please help us to repent and forsake those. And Lord, help us to forget those things that are behind and to press forward to the things that You have before us for Your honor and for Your glory. Bless Your word now. Lord, I know that there may be some tonight who are old enough and understand that they need to be saved. They know in their heart tonight if they died right now, they'd end up in hell. And Lord, I pray You convict their heart that they'd repent and trust Jesus even tonight. For all who are saved, that we would follow You with all our hearts. Help us to be obedient to the conviction of Your Holy Spirit tonight. And may You get all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Psalm 96 was originally given by King David in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. The Ark of the Covenant had been taken away, and you remember how the Philistines, they had nothing but trouble with it, so they sent it away. And then when they were trying to bring it back, David led in a bad way. They kind of had things going. They were out there singing and praising God, and they were so excited, but they didn't move the Ark the right way. They didn't have the right people or the right instruments to do it God's way. And you remember that poor guy named Uzzah, he was trying to do a good thing. They had the ark on a cart, which they shouldn't have had. But the oxen stumbled, and he put his hand out to steady it, and the Lord killed him right there on the spot. So David got scared. He said, I can't bring the ark to where I'm at. It's too dangerous. So he leaves it. And then they figure out how much God blessed where it was at. And then he decided to bring it in. So he prepared a house. They put up a tabernacle, a tent for the Ark of the Covenant. And when they bring the Ark of the Covenant in, they bring it into that tabernacle and they have a great time of rejoicing. And it's at that time when this psalm was originally given in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Well, many years have passed by the time the Word of God is given that the psalmist would write this down in the book of the Psalms. And it's changed up a little bit. So if you read it in 1 Chronicles 16 and you read it here in Psalm 96, there's some differences. And I want to tell you why that is. Because God has it there in the original and at the first, but some things are changed because this psalm doesn't just apply to the ark coming in at that time. This song has changed and applies to much more. It goes beyond the ark being brought back from the Philistines. It goes beyond Israel being saved from their enemies, from the Philistines, or from Babylon. It goes beyond even the church age that we're in today. There are elements of this song that go all the way to the millennial reign of Jesus Christ that have to do with that. And we'll see that in just a little bit. And I just want you to get that, because when we study the Word of God, we can always see there's a primary application. But then God, through His providence, allows things to be given that have a broader application. And there's a lot of things that we study in the Old Testament that really are directed towards Israel, but by extension, they apply to us today because we are the children of God by faith. We are the seed of Abraham. Isn't that good? And God's goodness isn't just reserved for that one people for that one time, but the goodness of God extends far beyond that. And we can see that in this very psalm. Tonight, I just want to challenge you as we kind of introduce this theme tonight, that all that we do is for His glory. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, the Bible says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." In 2 Corinthians 10:17, "But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." And in Galatians 6:14, Paul said, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." And I just want to challenge you tonight that whatever we do in our lives, day by day, personally, whatever we do as a church, we've got to do it for the glory of God, because motives matter. Amen. Our heart matters. Our purpose matters. And it's easy for us to mess up our focus. You see, let me give you an example. I could be motivated to do some things as the pastor and lead this church certain ways just so we could draw a crowd. And there are changes that we could make here at Calvary that would draw a crowd. Did you know that? There are things that you could do to change up our church and change what we do and how we do things that would definitely bring more people in. But I want to help you out. There's a lot of things that churches are doing today to draw a crowd that are not done to the glory of God. You see what I'm saying? And the same thing's true. We could be motivated by the wrong things, but we want to remember that everything we do is to be done for the glory of God. And so he gives us these elements of this song tonight. And of course, it starts out with sing. Verse 1, "O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name, show forth His salvation from day to day." The Lord tells us to sing. And listen, I wanted to challenge you tonight that as we go into 2018, we start it right by worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. We had a song service a little while ago, and a lot of you were singing, and some of you weren't singing, and some of you were having a good time, and some of you were daydreaming about something else. I want to tell you, when we come together in the house of God with the people of God, we ought to be here to sing the praises of God. And you can tell me all the jokes you want to about how you couldn't carry a tune in a bucket, or you couldn't sing your way out of a wet paper sack and all the rest of it, but my Bible just says sing. I don't know. There's just some of you guys are hard-headed. It doesn't matter how many times I preach this or how many times you just read it off the page yourself. You just refuse to sing. I want to help you tonight. We have a God who is worthy of our praise. And when He says sing, He means sing. He doesn't mean give mental assent to it. He doesn't mean meditate on the words in your mind. He means open your mouth and let your voice come out to sing. It wouldn't surprise you that's one of the things that scares me to death. I have to admit my lack of faith. I'm scared to death of losing my eyesight, and I'm scared to death of losing my voice. Some of you wouldn't mind me losing my voice, I know. But I just think that'd be awful. And I know there are people who have been stricken with those things. They can't see anymore. I have a friend from Landmark. She's going blind. She's losing her sight, and she'll be completely blind before long. And my heart goes out to her. My heart breaks for her. Won't be able to see the face of her children or her husband anymore. Won't be able to go outside and see the stars and the glory of God. And what a terrible thought to lose your voice. Some of you refuse to sing, but some of you, if you're like me, would hate to imagine what it'd be like to not be able to sing. Sing. What do we sing? Well, we sing a new song. Here's an awesome thing. This was a song that David had written and then changed and modified to make it have a broader scope and a broader application. And so he took this song and made it a new song. And did you know at Calvary we're supposed to sing a new song to the Lord? I know some of you think we ought to just only sing Amazing Grace like Jesus and the apostles did. But we ought to sing a new song to the Lord. Now, it doesn't mean that we've got to have worldly music and have worldly things going on, but we need a new song. It is a good thing to express our worship to God. And listen, friends, it's right here in the Bible. And if a song is biblically sound, if it's doctrinally sound, and it glorifies the Lord, then it's good. It's good. Again, I'm not talking about getting worldly or crazy with the music. I'm just talking about worshiping the Lord. There's a great thing about a new song because it helps us to kind of break out of the monotony and sometimes wake us up. And by the way, that song is to the Lord. We sing, we don't sing to one another. We don't sing to others. We don't sing to entertain. We sing to the Lord. All the earth, bless His name. You know, there's going to come a time when everything on the planet's going to glorify the Lord. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. They will bless His holy name. He says, show forth His salvation. And we ought to do that day in and day out. And so when we sing, we ought to sing the truth of the Word of God. We ought to sing it everywhere we go. We ought to sing it every day. And by the way, I don't wait for Sunday to come around to sing praise to God. I like to sing praise to God all the time. Amen? Amen? Listen, we wake up in the morning, we ought to rejoice in the Lord, and our houses ought to be houses of worship. It ought to be a place where the praise of God goes forth. Just as a side note, music that honors God's not just good for this house, it's good for your house too. I'm thankful for some people in our church who have taken a stand on that, and no matter how much their families cried and whined and complained that they can't listen to the music they used to listen to, they just listen to God-honoring music in their house now. That's a good thing. And in case you're confused, some of you aren't going to like this. I'll just go ahead and prepare you. I'd challenge you, because I don't think it's there, but I'll give you the opportunity to prove me wrong. I don't think that there's anything on country radio that honors God. And you can say, but it talks about church on Sunday morning, but that's only after beer on Friday night. And let me just go ahead and step this out there for some of you. I don't know that this is needed in this church, but in my opinion, there's no such thing as Christian rap. Just going to throw that out there. When we sing to the Lord. We sing to honor Him. We sing to bless His holy name. We sing to show His salvation, and we do it day in and day out. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, we want to praise His name. Next, look at verse 3. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. So we look here at verses 3 through 6, and we see not only do we need to sing to the Lord to declare His glory, to lift up His name, but we declare His glory. To declare means to open our mouths and speak it. And what do we need to tell about? What do we need to talk about? What do we need to speak about? What is it that we need to declare with authority and truth is His glory, His wonders? And where do we do it? Well, we do it among the heathen. We do it among all people. You know what we need to do? When we get out there in the world, you say, those people, they don't want to hear about that. That's exactly who we need to tell about the glory of God. It always amazes me when we're knocking doors, we'll knock on somebody's door and they'll say, oh yeah, I go to church down here and I'm real faithful. And they'll say, well, that house over there, you don't want to go over there. Those people, they don't believe in God. And I try to respectfully say, that's kind of what we're here for, is the people who don't believe in God. We're not out on outreach trying to find people who are saved and going to heaven already. That's good and well and fine. We're trying to find people who need to hear the gospel. We're not out trying to find some fish to trade with another church. We're out there trying to find some fish to bring to Christ. And so we need to go and declare His glory and His wonders among the heathen, among all people. By the way, the heathen, that's us. You know, God always had a plan for the Gentiles to come to Christ. It was never just for Israel. Israel was supposed to be a nation of priests to bring everyone to God. And so we have the opportunity to go and declare His glory. Let me help you out. When you got to go back to school, you got to go back to work after your holiday, and somebody asks you how you're doing, Don't tell them about all the ailments and problems and struggles you're having. Number one, they didn't ask you how you're doing because they really want to know all that. Okay? They really don't want to hear about your bunions. I'm just saying. But when somebody asks you how it's going, it is an incredible opportunity for you to declare the glory and wonder of God. Do you see that? Hey, how's it going? People ask that all the time. Well, let me tell you how it's going. This past year, 14 people got saved at our church. 8 people got baptized. We had another lady join him. We're so excited about what God's doing at Calvary. I've been studying my Bible, and check out what I've been learning. Listen, we've got opportunities to declare his glory to other people. And why should we do that? Please take your attention and put it on verse 4. For the Lord is great. Why would you want to tell everybody about God? You some kind of Bible thumper? I want to tell everybody about God because he's great. And he's greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Let me help you out. When you get out and knock on doors and when you talk to people at work or at school, you're going to find some people who believe some different things. And just right here in Oklahoma, I've met Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists and atheists and all kinds of different things. Let me help you out. You get around those people, sometimes you might get a little intimidated and you say, well, they believe other things. And our culture tells us today, it's okay to believe whatever you want to as long as you believe. And we have to respect all faiths and we have to respect all religions. We have to respect all that thing. It's fine to be respectful, but respecting them doesn't mean that you agree that they're right. What they're worshiping are idols that will take them straight to hell.
Right. Amen.
Why? How is it respectful for me to let them believe in nothing? All the gods are idols.
Right.
Let me help you out. They want to tell you. CNN will tell you that the God of the Muslims, Allah, is the same God, Jehovah, of the Bible. And it's a lie.
Amen.
Allah is an imagination. It's a figment of somebody's imagination. He is an idol. That word idol means it's emptiness. It's nothing. Allah didn't create the universe. Allah did not become a man named Jesus Christ who died on the cross for our sins. Allah is nothing.
Amen.
I'm telling you tonight that they have nothingness and we don't need to be intimidated by that. No, we have the God of the Bible, the Lord. That's Jehovah. He's the one who created all things.
Amen.
And it's so awesome when you look at the scriptures. Look at verse 5. He says, the Lord is great, in verse 4, greatly to be praised. He's to be feared above all gods, that's little g. Verse 5, for all the gods, little g, of the nations are idols. That word idols means empty, nothing. It doesn't just mean a little trinket or statue. It just means it's nothing. But the Lord made the heavens. And I love how the Holy Spirit of God does things. Because he could have said God, and that would have been true, right? Amen? But he specifically said Jehovah. Because he wants you to understand, it's not just some arbitrary God. No, it's the God of Israel.
Amen.
He's the one that created everything.
Amen.
And he deserves all the honor and majesty. He deserves all the glory. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Get this, verse 6. Whatever honor, whatever majesty, whatever strength, whatever beauty exists in this world only exists in the presence of Jehovah God. If it's good, it comes from God. And if we're going to have strength, it comes from his presence. If we're going to have beauty and holiness, it's going to come from his presence. You're not going to find it anywhere else. So we need to declare his glory. I'm convicted because so many times I'm such a wimp at sharing the gospel. I get out maybe on a job site, and you get around some guys and maybe they're a little rough and they're talking dirty and all that kind of stuff, and you get a little intimidated and you're looking for an opportunity to share the gospel. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes I'm so wimpy, I'm so timid, and it's so ridiculous because my God is great and he's greatly to be praised. And I ought to be bold to stand up and say, let me tell you about God and who he is and what he's done. We need to have some boldness to declare. The word declare, that's what preaching means, by the way, to declare with authority. And we may not all be called to pastor, but we are all called to proclaim the gospel with authority. Verse 8. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Not only do we need to sing, not only do we need to declare, but we need to give. We need to give. Verse 7 tells us who he expects to give, the kindreds of the people. Those who are his. He doesn't call all nations. He doesn't call the heathens. He doesn't call everyone out there to give. He calls those that are brought together by him to give. He wants us to give. And what is it that he wants us to give? He wants us to give glory and he wants us to give strength. Verse 8, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Now I want you to get this. What is it that we've just learned about that God has and is and gets? Well, he gets all glory. Where is it that strength comes from? Well, all strength comes from him. All power is his. But then he says, I want you to give that power, that strength, and I want you to give that glory to the Lord. So what does that mean? How do we do that? God has all power. He has all authority. All glory belongs to him. How do we give it to him? Well, what we do is we ascribe it to him. We give it to him in our praise. We give it to him in our declaration. We give it to him in our worship. We give it to him in our thanksgiving. It's not like we got a bag of glory and we're going to give it back to God. No, we glorify him with what we say and what we do. We are ascribing those things to him. We tell other people, God gets all glory. We tell other people, Jesus has all power. We give those things to him in our worship, in our praise, and in our declaration. And then he says in verse 8, bring an offering and come into his courts. And this offering in verse 8 isn't the blood offering of the sacrifices. This offering is the thanksgiving offerings, the peace offerings that weren't a sacrifice. So these aren't the things that are a picture of the sacrifice of Christ. These are a picture of the things that we give back to God, like when we take up our tithes and offerings when we come together. And by the way, somebody may wonder, why do we do that every time we come together as a church? Because giving is part of our worship. We're not giving to the pastor, we're not giving to the church, we're giving to the Lord through the church. Why do we pass the plate every time? I already gave this morning. Why are you passing again tonight? Because it's part of our worship. And we give to honor the Lord. So giving, singing, declaring, giving, and worship is next. Verse 9, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I told you just a minute ago, all beauty and strength comes from the presence of the Lord. And when we get in his presence, we are exposed to his holiness. He changes us into what he wants us to be. And then we can truly worship him. To worship means to ascribe worth to. It's to give value to. And when you study your Bible and you see somebody worship, can anybody tell me the posture that most people have when they worship? Anybody? They fall on their face. You can do it. Just get a concordance and look up the word worship in your Bible. When somebody worships in the Bible, they fall on their face. Curious tonight. When's the last time you were on your face before the Lord? When's the last time the greatness of God overwhelmed you and the smallness of yourself overwhelmed you to the point that you could do nothing but fall on your face before God? You want to have a better 2018 than you had 2017? It'll start on your face. Why should we do that? Verse 9 says, fear before him all the earth. That word fear means to tremble. Tremble. When you consider how great God is and how small we are, all we can do is tremble. Look at verse 10 with me, please. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. As you come to the end of the psalm, he steps back from us and what we can do. And if you look at verses 11 and 12 and in the first part of 13, you see that all creation praises the Lord. Everything that he created is for his glory. I don't know when the last time you were out and you saw a field of wheat, but I always think about this when I drive by a field of wheat and I see it blowing with the breeze. You know what that wheat's doing? It's bowing in worship to God. When the wind blows in the trees, he says that the trees of the wood rejoice. Listen, it's like they've got their arms raised in worship to God. When the waves come in and the sea crashes on the seashore, all of that power that's in those waves, all the power that's in the oceans in its roaring is for the glory of God. He says the heavens rejoice. Did you know the stars literally sing to God? Did you know that? We put our little radio telescopes out there and the stars are making noise. The stars are singing. And they sing for the glory of God. The heavens rejoice, the earth is glad, the sea roars, the fullness thereof, the field is joyful and everything that's in it, the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. All of his creation is for his worship, it's for his honor, it's for his glory. And even when we don't get it, it's for him. So in the morning when you get up and you hear the birds singing, they're singing for the glory of God. And you say, oh no, I watch PBS, that's their mating call, or that's this or that, or you can say whatever you want to. I don't care. The Bible says that everything that's in the field is being glad for the Lord. You see, even that little sparrow with hardly any brain at all knows it has a creator in heaven. And I'm just trying to tell you today that everything on this planet, everything in the universe is there for the glory of God. And I'm so afraid that too many times we who should know most miss the boat. And we're not living for his glory like we should. Look at verse 13 in closing. Why does everything rejoice before God? Why is everything giving him glory? Because he's coming. Because he's coming. That's what it means. For he cometh. That means because he is coming. Because he is coming to judge the earth. Why should you rejoice in the Lord? Why should you live for Christ? Why should you live for God's glory in 2018? Because the Lord is coming one day. He's on his way and he's coming to judge the earth. And I want you to look at the end of the verse. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. And I think this is incredible. Because God's not just going to judge us as His church. He's going to judge everything in the world. Because Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross and He rose again, He purchased back everything that was lost in the curse of sin. And He's going to judge the whole world. And He's going to judge the world in righteousness. The world system, the people out there outside of Christ, He's going to judge them in righteousness. They're going to be judged by what is right. Revelation tells us that the books are going to be open and they're going to be judged by the things that are in the books. But then it says, and the people. You see, there's a difference between the people and the world. The people are His people. And we are His people only by faith in His Son. And His people are going to be judged with His truth. You and I are all going to give an account one day for all that we've done since we've been saved, whether it's good or evil. Why should we live for the glory of God in 2018? Because He's coming. Because He's coming to judge all things. Listen, I preached longer than I meant to tonight, but I don't want you to get so weary that you miss this. Because I believe that tonight is critical. I believe tonight's critical for myself, and I believe tonight's critical for our church. Because I believe that how we respond to the Word of God and the Spirit of God tonight will set the tone for the rest of this year. At midnight, the balls will drop, and we'll ring in a new year. And we get a fresh start. A time to look back and see what needs to change, and to ask God to help us and to make those commitments to change. And friends, there's no better place to make that commitment to God than right here, right now. So tonight we're going to get ready for a verse of invitation. Our musicians are going to come, and I'd ask you to please stand with me. And to any person here tonight who has never repented of their sin and trusted Christ, I plead with you tonight that you would trust in Jesus as your Savior. And if you have been saved, but there's things as you look back on 2017, there's things that you wish you'd have done different, that you want to do better in the next year, in 2018, I plead with you tonight, bring that to the Lord. Humble yourself enough that you can come and get on your knees worshiping the Lord tonight. Humbly saying, Lord, help me to serve you better this year. If He's convicting your heart this evening, will you come while we sing?
Page 560.